felt you've been left behind. With the rest of them gone on vacation, and there you are, you're left behind. There you are. But praise the Lord, spiritually we're not. Lovely to be back with you again. My name is John Clunas, in case you've forgotten it. Some say clueless, others say a whole lot of other things, but I wouldn't repeat them here. And wouldn't repeat them anywhere. Anyway, it's a great joy to be with you this morning and in the Word. If I could learn how to operate this thing, it would be... Oh, there we are. Good. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, lovely to be with you and share with you this morning. And maybe you're feeling a little down, and I was just asking the Lord for the right word this morning. And I've been thinking about many things going through in my mind, and I was just looking around, and I thought, well, this crowd this morning, I'm sure, are a little weary, and have been busy, and I want just to take a little devotional, as it were, and share it with you. I need a little bit of help. I wonder if I could give three verses that maybe you could help me with. When it comes to the point in time, we could read them out. The first verse is Matthew chapter 9 and 2. Just hold on to it until the time that I want you to do that. And the second verse is Mark 6 and 50. And the third verse is John 16 and 33. John 16 and 33. I had a friend who became a surgeon in Britain. He used to work with us, and he went on to be a surgeon. And after he graduated, he went on to the mission field. And I remember going to his valedictory service in the gospel hall that we sent him out from, and his father told the story that when he was a little boy, his grandfather, the boy's grandfather, was ill in bed, and so the little fellow Cairns, he had gone up and climbed up beside his granddad. His granddad began to tell him a story, and he told him the story we were singing about today, Only a Lad Called David. And he told how David took the stones and took that one stone, and he slung it, and the giant fell down to the ground. And then he looked at the wee boy, and he said, "And what do you think of that, Cairns?" And there was a moment of silence, and the Cairns said, "Three cheers for Jesus." Well, my dear friends, that's what we're going to have today. Three cheers for Jesus. Amen? But the thing is this, it's not three cheers for Jesus, it's three cheers from Jesus to us. And, you know, we live in days where many things have been questioned, but we're thankful to God that we can be cheered up by the Word of God and by what the Lord himself says to us. So if someone has got the Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, would you read it for me, please? Have you got it, Mark? Have you? No? Matthew 9, that's right. It's called Alzheimer's, brother, I tell you. It's the mind is slipping. The marbles are not clicking together. Morris has got it. Okay. Could you read that for me, Morris?
Sure. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of a palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of a palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee."
Oh, wow. Read that last bit again, brother.
"Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee."
Now the rest of you say amen. Oh, boy. That was a Melox moment, wasn't it? I tell you. Never mind. Change your breakfast cereal. You know, my dear friends, it's a tremendous story, isn't it, of them coming and bringing this man to the Lord. And behold, they were bringing to him a paralytic lying on his bed. A man who, the old Scottish preacher said, came to Jesus with his head in his bed and left with his bed on his head. That's what happens when you come to the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? The great thing is we have good news in our lives. Now, I want you to do something here this morning. I want you to think, because we think of the wonderful news that the God has given us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to take a moment to go back in time and think of the moment that you had an encounter with God. Think of that. It was John Newton who wrote Amazing Grace. Had written over his fireplace in the days when they had this big solid fireplace, he had carved out of it these words: "Remember, I was once a bondman in the land of Egypt." Sometimes I wake up in the morning, or sometimes I go to bed at night, and I feel, particularly in the morning time, that I just got saved the night before. You begin to think of what God. Sometimes people move so far away from the point of where they came to know Christ that they forget the wonderful deliverance they had in Christ. And just take a moment here this morning and think back of that moment when, indeed, Christ came into your life. What happened? What happened? Wasn't that good news? Well, burdens were lifted, weren't they? My friend John Moore wrote a hymn about it. He said, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." He wrote it so beautifully. And how true it is. And we come, "For there on the cross, Christ bore our burdens." And we're told to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. What a cheer from Jesus today, that we are forgiven. Isn't that? In whom we have redemption, even the what? Forgiveness of sins. Is that right? In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. My friend, you know what? I want to tell you, in this world, and I'm not a sporty person, that's a home run. That's a home run, isn't it? My friend, do you know this, that the moment after someone has had these words from Jesus and has come into the blessing of being born again of the Spirit of God, if they died on that next second, they're in heaven. Amen? Wow. That's a cheer, isn't it? That's a cheer. And you get a tremendous cheer from the Lord. And here's his mind coming in his condition. You notice he didn't say, "You're healed." You see, you can be healed and still go to hell. You can be healed and still be lost. You see, my dear friend, it's the healing of the soul that Christ is concerned with primarily when He died on the cross. And you know, what the Scripture says so wonderfully, He made peace through the blood of His cross. What hymn comes to your mind? Come on now. About that, when you think of the moment you get saved. Are you thinking the same hymn as I am? Come on now. "Oh, happy day." Do you remember that one? "That fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." And somewhere or other we're living in society within the church that we want to hide that happy day fact that when God forgave our sins. I remember when I was a young fellow, and I do remember that, although it's a while ago. I was at a meeting in Aberdeen, in my hometown in Scotland, and we're there, and it was a meeting that had been arranged by an evangelical group in the city, and it was Mormonism and Christianity. And the Mormons came along, the place was packed, and this man had written an article in the paper, so they got him to speak, and at the end of it there was a question time. And I was just in my 20s, Margaret was with me, probably she was embarrassed about going with such a guy like me. And I thought, well, I'll give the speaker a lead-in, something he can answer a positive question with. So I stood up and I said, "Can you save, know you're saved now?" Because I knew that the Mormons taught that you were working to it, that all men shall become as gods. It's an eventual thing. And I wasn't long saved, and I knew it wasn't eventual. I knew it had happened. You know how I knew it was happened? You know how I knew I was saved? I was there when it happened. Amen. So I ought to know. Amen. I was there when it happened. So I knew it had happened. And I didn't need any professor. I didn't need anyone to tell me, you're saved. It was happened. I was there. And so I stood up and I said, excuse me, can you know you're saved now? In my young enthusiasm of my early 20s, I was so excited about knowing I was saved. And this fella said, no. And then it wouldn't answer my question, so I got up again. And again, until finally the chairman said, sit down, Mr. Clunas. And well, I was only a young fella in those days. If I was at this age, I wouldn't have sat down. I'd do what Jenny Geddes did. I'd have picked up the chair and thrown it at him, I tell you. But I was there. But an old farmer from one of the assemblies was there as well. And here was can you imagine after saying that, the closing hymn was, Oh Happy Day. Can you believe that? After saying that. And the Mormons were as happy as kings. We got to the second verse and we sang it through. I'll never forget old Mr. Norrie. He had a broad Scottish brogue. He was a farmer. And I'll remember when the pianist finished the music for the second verse, this northeast of Scotland voice boomed out, We'll sing that verse again. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess his love divine. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And then he added this. This wasn't in the hymn, but it was so funny. And he says, we'll have none of this not known nonsense here today, he said. Oh, happy day. Aren't you glad you know you're saved? Amen. Hey? And you know you're going to heaven. That's why Christ died. You say to people, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. My friend, do you think Christ suffered, all he suffered on the cross, that we might say, I hope so? No. He said that we might say what Paul said to Timothy, for I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If the Lord spares me till the 1st of May next year, it'll be 50 years. And it's just as exciting as now as it was 50 years ago. I was 18. Nobody, just a wild boy away from home. But Christ touched my heart. It's real. Three cheers. Son, thy sins be forgiven you. That's a good cheer today, isn't it? Amen. When you come to the Lord's table this morning, wouldn't that be wonderful? You're sitting there. What are you sitting there? You're sitting there, a forgiven sinner. Amen. Oh, my dear friend, we're humbled. We're not proud. We're humbled that God should love me. One of my favorite hymns is, in loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depth of sin and shame, praise God, he lifted me. From the sinking sands, he lifted me. With tender hands, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. Amen. Praise his name. He lifted me. Why? What did I do? Did I work for it? No. Did I pay for it? I couldn't afford it. You know, the night I got saved, I had the exact money for my bus fare home and my bus fare back to work in the morning, because as you know, folks, we got paid weekly in Scotland, very weekly indeed. And that was all I had. Nothing left. There it was. Just that's all I had. I was standing. I could honestly sing with the hymn writer, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. With nothing in your pocket but your bus fare. And that was your worldly wealth. They would never have fought over my estate. I'll tell you that. I entered into an inheritance that I have had for the last nearly 50 years. that will take me right on into eternity. And my friends, I'm not only sure, but I know positively, because I have a cheer from Jesus, my sins are forgiven me. Well, can we have the second verse, please? Somebody got the second verse? Forgot you this time, Mark? Have you? This is Mark's gospel. This is Mark. It's in this one. Or somebody who's got Mark 6 and 50. 6 and 50. Anybody got it? Just read it for me, please. What time did we finish again? 10:30. Okay, fine. I forgot. Thanks, Larry.
Be of good cheer,
but if I be not afraid. That's amen. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So there we find in Mark chapter 6, verse 50, these words of the Lord. And here they are, and verse 46, and after bidding them, he departed into the mountain to pray, and when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and it was alone in the land. And seeing them straining on the oars, for the wind was against the storm, against them, the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the water. He intended to pass by them, and when they saw him walking on the water, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. They were all saw him and were frightened, but immediately he spoke with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, my friend, we look back to the point where Christ saved us and we're cheered, aren't we? But if you've got a few years of salvation under your belt, there's been a few storms, hasn't there? Hasn't there? And isn't it wonderful that through the storms of life, when we are wrestling, and it's wonderful, it's easy for me to talk to you fellows because you're seafaring people. As you folks know, the thing about seasickness, as we knew in Scotland, was that when you got seasick, one minute you felt you were dying, next minute you wish you had. I mean, it was that seasickness is like that, you know. I remember when I would go on the little steamer across what we call the Minch, across from the Scotland mainland to the Outer Isles. It could take over 6 hours if the weather was bad. And it was a smell of diesel oil and a heat that made your stomach turn, and you went outside and the wind was blowing. You were just ready to throw yourself overboard with everything else that was going. And you would just felt there. How about that in life, eh? How about that in life? Lady phoned me. I phoned her, actually. Said, how you doing? I knew by her voice, things were not well. She was going through a very bad divorce. Her husband, well, that's another story. I said to her, listen, dear, I just want to tell you something. Never forget that when the storm came when he was in the boat, that he was in the boat, but they forgot about it. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I said, and there came a point when he stood up at the ender part of the ship and he looked at the winds of the waves, and let's remember, he was the great creator. The wonderful thinking that our sins are forgiven and he became our savior, that wonderful hymn says, the great creator became our savior. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? The one that created us has saved us eternally. And he stood up in the ender part of the boat and he said, peace be still. And they said, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey his voice? Well, he was a God manifest in flesh, wasn't he? He was God in flesh. And I could hear a sob. Heartaches bring sobs, you know, don't they? They bring tears to eyes, don't they? And sometimes we say, where can we go? Where can we go? And the old Southern Gospel people sang about it. They said, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. But when my soul needs manna from above, where can I go? But to the Lord. And my dear friend, when the physical is strained and overwhelmed as it was here, when you're rowing against the wind and you're not making much headway, some brethren would tell me they were along the Pentland Firth and I went up to Lerwick there, and that's one of the worst pieces of water in the British Isles because it's where the Atlantic meets the North Sea. If it's running the right way, you can go through over 20 odd knots, even if your boat can't do that, it'll do it. Because the tide will take you through. If you're going against it with full engines going, you'll be fortunate if you make 5 knots, these fishermen told me. The tide is so hard and so strong. Now, sometimes, you know, we, with the best engines, we're only making 2 or 3 knots against the wind, aren't we? And our hearts are heavy. In the midst of it all, what happens? Somebody walking on the water. In the middle of the physical comes the supernatural. Be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. I may have shared this story with you. A friend of mine was coming through the Pentland Firth. And whether it was a net or a rope, you lads will identify with us, it caught his propeller. And here he was in the middle of the Pentland Firth. Now, Cape Wrath and the cliffs, it's all cliffs around the top end of Scotland. It's all cliffs. It's not sandy shores. You don't beach. You just get crushed. And he said, I wasn't saved. He said, another friend of mine who's now an evangelist, Jackie Ritchie, bought his fishing boat on. He threw him a line, but the wild was so well, the line broke. He said, I would look, we could see us drifted to the cliffs. We knew it was over. He said, I was over. And he said, where's my father? Where's my father? He said, I ran downstairs in the boat. I went down and he said, there was my father on his knees. His father was a godly man. He said, Father, you better come up. We're going to hit the rocks. He said, my father never come up yet. He says, the lifeboat come out of Wick. That's one of the towns at the top of Scotland there. And managed to get a rope to them just before they hit the rocks and pulled up. He says, my father never came up from underneath. He was on his knees the whole time. And when the physical was at an extremity, the supernatural kicked in. God meets the need. I met the first lady sometime later, and she said, I want to tell you, that night you phoned, I was at the lowest point in my life. But when you reminded me that Jesus is in the boat, she says, after I put down the phone, I just wept. And I thank God that I wasn't going through this alone. And my friend, I want to tell you from the depth of my heart, whatever you may go through, whatever I may go through, thank God he doesn't only save us, but he keeps us. Praise his name. Amen. He keeps us. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. 3 cheers from Jesus. Get cheered up. Your sins are forgiven thee. Amen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved, 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 we used to say. Saved by his wonderful grace. Redeemed, be of good cheer. In the midst of your torment and trouble, it is I. We went through an experience just a couple of months ago. I won't tell you the whole story, but very quickly. God wants us to teach us something in experiences. I got up early in the morning to pray, and I was praying. I said, Lord, I need to see you working today. But I said, more important, Lord, as much as I need to see you working today, more important, Lord, I need something else from you today, Lord. I need to know that you're with me. You know that lovely old hymn, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his arms around me, I must presence near me and his arms around me. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let me, where he will, I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow. And I was on my knees, and I was saying, oh God, I've got to get an answer here. But Lord, that's not the important thing. That's important, but that's not the important thing. The important thing, Lord, are you with me? And the thing that flashed into my mind while I was praying in the morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, if Moses had stood at the Red Sea and looked at the water, all he would have got was his feet wet. Sometimes I think the Lord has a sense of humor as well, doesn't he? But he didn't look. Moses could never have opened up the Red Sea. Was his God that could open up? You remember the king looking into Daniel standing there among the lions? Isn't that a marvelous statement that an ungodly king could make? You know what he said? The unsaved king, the ungodly king says, your God is able to deliver you. Wow. Now I remember praying, I said, Lord, you may use this incident to prove that you're with me. But I said, I need to know, Lord. It was a need to know morning. You have these kind of mornings, need to know, I'm sure we all have, don't we? And by mid-afternoon, God proved to me in two things. One, he's with me. And two, he can meet our needs. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I didn't get my feet wet. The waters opened because you told me this. Look at me. And the interesting, it says here that Jesus was going to pass by. He waited for them to shout, eh? Same happened on the road to Emmaus when he walked with the two down to Emmaus. You remember, he would have made to go on. They said, come on in. Come on and have supper with us. They didn't know who he was. He made it, I'm going on. And they said, no, you stay. And when he broke bread, I wonder when he broke bread in the house, if they saw the marks of the cross, the nail-pierced hands. Wow. They just walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were tired. They got up and ran back and told the disciples they'd seen the Lord. Isn't an experience of Christ's presence bring a refreshment to a tired soul? Isn't that right? These men were weary. They were weary, rowing against the wind. We all know about that, don't we? And the Lord said, be of good cheer. It is I. What a message, eh? What a message the Christian message is. We don't have to go out and kill someone. We go out and trust someone, isn't it? We trust the Savior. And he's with us, and we're walking there. And the way of the cross leads home, and it's sweet to know as we onward go that the way of the cross leads home. Be of good cheer. It is I. What a cheer to get from Jesus this morning. Are you getting these cheers? Amen? Your sins are forgiven you? Be not afraid. It's I. The chorus I used to love when I got saved, I didn't know all the chorus, but I learned he lives. And it summed up how I felt. I sometimes didn't know how to play. I remember, maybe you folks with the British connection can remember a thing called Andrew's Liver Salts. Do you remember Andrew's Liver Salts? Well, they would give you in a cleansing anyway. But, you know, they were big in Britain. It was, you got it in a tin and it was a powder and it fizzed up and it did the job. Anyway, I remember witnessing to a guy I worked with. I was just saved. I was trying to tell him how to get saved. And I said, you know, he said, but why do I need that? And I says, in my innocence, just a few weeks saved. I said, because it gives you inner cleansing. He says, I take Andrew's liver salts for that. I felt such a fool. You know, I was such a fool. I said, oh dear, I just had to leave that occasion and move on. But oh dear friends, when I learned, I was able to say, He lives, Christ Jesus walks, lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my... Amen. Not lovely? Not wonderful when you go home from the service today, you'll take the Savior you remembered with you. Not lovely? He won't be here when we lock the door. Where will he be? He'll be in the heart of the believers, isn't that right? That's where he is. He lives within my heart. One more. I hope you're not bored. Are you encouraged yet? Nod. You don't have to speak, just nod. That's it. You're still with me. Amen? Okay. That's good. We're always told in Scotland, if you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, stop boring. So I don't want to bore you this morning. Can we have the third verse then? And somebody will give it to me in John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16.
John 16, verse 33, right?
That's it, yeah. These things I have spoken of to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. These afflictions I have overcome. Amen. Could you read that last verse again? I didn't get that last line again. Be of good cheer. Wow. Amen. Don't you give a big sigh when you hear that and say, Amen. Amen. I have overcome the world. And here is the Lord in a wonderful way. He's coming to them. And in John 16 and 33, let me just get the right verse. Here we are here. And he's been telling them some wonderful things in his upper ministry. He's been telling them, look, I'm going to leave you. John 14. I'm not only going to leave you, but I'm going to send someone just like me, the Holy Spirit, to indwell you. And the world won't know him, but you will know him, for he shall not only be with you, but he shall be in you. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? He didn't send you a companion to help you in your retirement. No, he sent a Savior. He sent a Spirit to be in you, to keep you in constant touch with the Almighty, that you could communicate. First of all, at Calvary, he took down the barrier and he said, come in. And where the high priest could only go into, now the sinner saved by the grace of God could go into the presence of God, and by the power of the Spirit of God could talk to Almighty God reverently and in holiness, in the beauty of holiness. And so we discover that he comes, and we look at the world today, and where are we? These things, he said, I'm telling you, I'm giving, he says, you've got a home in heaven, John 14:1. He said, now, you've got the Spirit of God within you, and he's going to judge the world. In the next chapter to the 16, he starts praying for us. He says, pray I neither for these alone, but for these which you shall give me through their word. And down through the ages, God's been answering prayer. Do you know why people will keep on getting converted and coming to Christ? Because God's going to answer the prayer of the Lord Jesus. When he prays, God listens. And he's going to answer it. And when you share the word, and that's why we have to share the word. Our job, my dear friend, is to tell the gospel, not to hide it. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He said, if they don't hear it, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what the scripture says. So clearly, he said, and that's why I've had a love for the gospel. I've just spent my life trying to tell people what happened to me in my life and through it, seeing people. I don't know if some of you Bible students have heard of a fellow by the name of a great Scotsman by the name of Robert Murray McShane. Have any of you heard that great name? That was, that's a wonderful. He was a wonderful. He was 29 years of age when he died in the city of Dundee. He had been used so powerfully for God. He was the beginning of missions. Him and another friend were the beginning of missions to Israel. They not only that, and he was only 29 when he died, they went out to Israel to share the gospel out there, take the gospel back out there. But anyway, he, some years ago, in my innocence and youth, I opened a coffee bar. And I used to drag people off the streets. You know, the Savior said, go into the highways and the byways and gather people, bring them in, bring them in. We brought in this young 18-year-old agnostic. He was just like typical young folks that day. And he got saved. He wrote me about a month ago. He said, dear John, feel it's time to write you. He's a pastor in the Presbyterian church that Murray McShane preached in Scotland. He says, I've been 23 years a pastor. He says, I thank you for what you did and for the blessing of coming into knowing Christ. And the most beautiful letter. He says, our church is alive and sharing the gospel. He says, the only opposition we get, he says, from pastors round about us who don't like us preaching the gospel. Isn't that interesting? And I said, wow. And here he is. He says, if God spares me for another 2 years, he said, I'll be retiring. He's been 23 years, and he was a young fellow walking home down the main street, and we laid hands on him. We didn't literally touch him, but we persuaded him to come in. We have a way of persuading, you know, friendly persuasion, you know. And he came in. I often think, when I hear these folks saying we shouldn't preach the gospel, if I'd be in the road to hell, if an evangelist hadn't had compassion to come into a dance hall and tell us about Christ. I often think of all the people that this other fellow's led to the Lord and the people we've led to the Lord who's led people to the Lord. Would there be if we hadn't pulled that young man off the street? We know God is able. But the wonderful blessing is this, my friend, the sharing of the good cheer is left in your hands and in my hands. I often think of the men at the gate of Samaria, didn't they? They had leprosy. They said, we're going to die anyway. Let's get out of here. They're starving in here. If we get killed out there, when they went out there, God had shifted the whole armies of the Assyrians and everything. They're sitting down there and they're feeding their faces and the city's starving. And then one of them suddenly gets in spiritual indigestion and he says, we do not well. This is the day of good tidings. They got up and went back with the message. They could have finished their meal and let the rest starve. Now picture what we're talking about today. Don't tell people they need to get saved. My friend, you better tell people they need to get saved, particularly what's happening. And those of you who've been to Israel and have stood and looked over the valley of Megiddo, you know, and you've read the last chapter, and you know who wins. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't it wonderful to stand over the Valley of Megiddo? You know, I've stood over the Battle of Falkirk in Scotland, where Braveheart won. I know who wins. Do you know how I win? Know that? Because history tells me that. When I stood looking at the Valley of Megiddo, I knew who wins. Why? Because prophecy tells me that. He is coming. Blessed Jesus. Sing my soul, rapture sing. Oh, the joy to rise and meet him. Call him Savior, Lord, and King. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I think it's time for a big amen, isn't it? Apart from it being 10:30, it's time for a big amen because be of good cheer, 3 cheers from Jesus. Your sins are forgiven you. If they aren't, they can be today. Be of good cheer. If you're going through the valley, I'm with you. Be not afraid, it is I, saith the Lord. 3 cheer, I'm worried about Iran. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? I used to preach in Bingo. I loved preaching just where people were. I loved to preach where the sinners were, and I used to preach in closing in bingo halls, in Britain there used to be big lines, or as we called them in Britain, and you understand the good English queues, you remember. But we have big lines or queues, and I'd go up the queue and saying, we'd have a piano accordion and we'd be singing and speaking and saying, we can give you tonight's winner. All the idler, oh great, 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 you know. You get in and ask for 5 minutes to talk and they would say, okay, before it begins, come in. I say, I want to give you tonight's winner. You give your life to Christ because he gave his life for you. You will be saved eternally and changed and you'll have won for time and all eternity. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for cheering us up. Cheering us up because we're saved and forgiven. Cheering us up because you're always with us. And cheering us up because, Father, we do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we praise him today for the victory that has yet to come in the valley of Megiddo. And we thank you, Father, we know who won, the mighty victor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, bless each one of us now as we fellowship and as we come back to remember the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for our visiting friends, the coffee is still in next door. Some coffee next door. 11 o'clock, we come back and we remember the Lord Jesus who this morning has cheered us up. Amen. God bless you. On the gospel. You might be interested in it. Some references in that. I'm going to lay it in the back. Just pick one up. It's quite free if you would like to have it. Thank you.